One of my favorite ways to invest is real estate, but not everyone wants to handle tenants and toilets. Enter Fundrise. They make it easy to invest in real estate with their flagship fund. Now, as always, you always have to carefully consider the investment objectives and risks of the Fundrise flagship fund before investing. But right now, demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. And the Fundrise flagship fund plans on going on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise flagship fund to your portfolio in just minutes, with just as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/PFP. As always, carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise flagship fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/PFP. That's fundrise.com/PFP. This is a paid advertisement. Spring is a great time of year to do some cleaning around the house and clean up your finances. And something else that you can do for your family this spring is shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius as part of your financial planning for the year. Getting life insurance today means you'll have peace of mind so that if something were to happen to you, your family can cover expenses, things like mortgage payments, credit card payments, car loans, or even college costs. I have a wife and two kids, with a third on the way, by the way, and business partners that all depend on my income. So I needed life insurance, and Policy Genius made that so incredibly easy. And with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you can save. That's policygenius.com. How much of your paycheck should you save by age? Let's get into it. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Personal Finance Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew, founder of MasterMoney.co, and today on the Personal Finance Podcast, we're going to be talking about how much of your paycheck should you save by age. If you guys have any questions, make sure to hit us up on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, at MasterMoneyCo, and follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever podcast player you love listening to this podcast on. And if you want to help out the show, consider leaving a 5-star rating and review. Cannot thank you guys enough for leaving those 5-star ratings and reviews. Now, today, we're going to be diving into how much of your paycheck should you save by age. And this is going to be a really fun episode. Really excited to go through this because what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how much of your paycheck should you save by age. And we're going to go through the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond. And then outside of that, I'm also going to talk about some of the things that you may want to be doing during that decade to ensure that your dollars are going to the right place and to ensure that you can save more money going forward. Now, as we go through this, one big thing to note is that a lot of Americans right now are living paycheck to paycheck. And there are a large number of Americans. Some of the statistics coming out right now are 79% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. And a lot of people who have a six-figure income are also living paycheck to paycheck. So I get it. A lot of folks right now are struggling. So one thing I want you to note up front is if you're living paycheck to paycheck, I'm going to give you a quick tip at the top of the show here. Is I want you to try to save as much as you possibly can. And I want you to find ways to save as much as you possibly can. But if you can't get there, if you can't get to some of these recommendations that we're going to be going through, one good thing that I did early on is I couldn't save a ton early on. I was making $30,000 per year in my first entry-level job when I was younger. And what I did was I increased my savings rate by 1% every single month. And so when I did that, it wasn't as painful for me to gradually increase that savings rate over time. And so this allowed me to actually adjust so that I could reach that savings rate. But in addition, it also allowed me to ensure that I'm doing this gradually so it's not this big, huge event that I have to go through and really readjust my finances. So I felt the pain of saving more or less by making that adjustment. Now, one other thing to note off the top is your income is going to really, really matter here when it comes to being able to save more money. Now, I'm sure some of you are tired of hearing something like that, where everybody out there is going to tell you income is a major factor when it comes to your personal finances. But I have never seen anything else that can really impact your finances more than learning how to increase your income. So if you can go out there and build specific skills to increase your income, negotiate your salary and try to get a raise, but finding ways to try to increase your income is going to be a huge catalyst. Your income is the way to reach financial independence faster, because what that means is that you're shoveling more fuel into the fire. You're putting more dollars into the fire, and this is going to allow you to just get there so much faster. It is incredible what you can do as you start to increase your income. And so for me specifically, when I was making that $30,000 salary, I realized very, very quickly that wasn't enough money. And so I focused on increasing my income. My income is actually what got me to the point to becoming a millionaire in my very early 30s. I was 32 when I became a millionaire. And that was how, was because I increased my income. That was the number one thing I did to ensure that I could get to that point. It wasn't because I saved a ton of money like crazy on a low income, even though you can do that and you can become very wealthy by saving money on a low income over time. But if you want to get there faster, you have to increase your income. And your income should be something that you're really focusing a lot of time on when it comes to your personal finances. Focusing on ways to increase that income can be really, really helpful. Now, I don't want you to have to run around and do a million different side hustles. I want you to really focus on those income producing skills. Those are what will help you the most going forward. So I think that's very, very important to kind of go through as we talk about this. Now, there are a lot of statistics we can go through. The majority of Americans don't even have $1,000 saved up. They can't even take care of $1,000 emergency. Most people listen to this podcast, if you've been listening to this podcast for some time, you're going to have an emergency fund built up because you know how important that is. We talk about it so much on this show, but the majority of Americans don't save money. And the majority of Americans don't have a financial plan. And so when you don't have a plan, when you save money, all of a sudden that money is going to go away. So that is one of the bigger things that you want to do up front, is making sure you have that financial plan. It's really, really important to do this. And a lot of times, if you have no goal on what you're saving for, what I would recommend is figuring out what your freedom number is. And to figure out what your freedom number is, you take how much you want to spend in retirement and multiply that by 25. Once you hit that number in invested in your retirement accounts or invested in your brokerage account, you can draw down 4% of that number every single year. So this calculation works out to something that's going to allow you to draw down the amount that you want to spend every single year based on the 4% rule. And the 4% rule states that you can draw down 4% of your portfolio and be able to preserve your wealth over the course of your retirement. So this is one thing that we just like to note as a baseline for a lot of people, is to think through that 4% rule. So if you want to spend $80,000 per year in retirement, one thing that you can do is, hey, $80,000 multiplied by 25 is $2 million. $2 million drawn down at 4% is $80,000. So it reverses the math for you to make it really, really easy. And so if you're looking for financial goals, that's one way to think through this, is how can I get to the point where I have enough money saved up so I can have my time back? Because time freedom is the only reason why we do this. The only reason why we're looking to build wealth is so we can get our time back, so we can spend more time with our family, with our friends, doing the things that we love. Our time is the most precious resource that you have. And your biggest regret when you get to the end of your life is you did not spend time in certain areas. That is going to be your number one regret if you have any regrets. And so making sure we take our time back is what money is there to do. Money is just a tool to get your time back. And that's exactly what I want for you, which is why we talk through savings rates and why this is so incredibly powerful, because your savings rate is the catalyst to allow you to find financial freedom. And this is exactly what we're talking through here. So we're going to go through each decade. We're going to talk through your savings rate and what I would target by age. So if that's something you're into, let's get into it. All right, so first we're going to talk about the 20s. And one thing to note before I dive into all of these are actually going to be gross income numbers that I'm talking about here, especially if you're contributing to your 401k or you're contributing to pre-tax retirement accounts, then gross income comes even more into play when I talk through these on these savings rates. Really, really important to talk through that up front here so we can go through each of these savings rates. So in your 20s, I want you to aim to save 10 to 20%. Now, I have a range here that's really, really important to understand. The real number I want want you to get to is 20%. And if you've listened to this podcast for a long time, you know 20% is really the baseline number that I have for you to have your savings. Now, when I talk about savings here, what I mean is saving money so that you can either put money into your emergency fund, so that you can either pay down high interest debt, and or you're contributing money to investments, your taxable brokerage, or maybe you're buying businesses, or maybe you're buying real estate, those types of things. So you're not saving just to have cash in a regular old savings account. You're saving so that you can get that money working for you to increase your net worth. These are net worth increasing activities is what you're putting this money towards. So when I say 10 to 20%, I really want you at 20%. 20% is our baseline here at the Personal Finance Podcast and Master Money. This is what we talk about always is 20%. You want to work your way to that. But if you can't get there yet, if you're just starting off and you're just trying to save money, just saving anything at all and investing those dollars or putting them towards wealth building activities are going to be so incredibly powerful, because these dollars are the most valuable dollars you will ever put in your retirement accounts. They are so incredibly valuable, and they can compound so much more than somebody who starts later in their 30s. If you're in your 20s and you're listening to this, you haven't started investing yet, you need to start investing as soon as you possibly can, because these dollars are so incredibly powerful. So one thing I would note is if you're trying to get to that 10 to 20%, first of all, remember what I said at the top of the show, make sure that if you can't get there yet, you start to increase it gradually over the next few months. So if you want to increase from 10% to 20% over the next 10 months, what you can do is increase your savings rate by 1%. So it's not so painful. And in between that time, it also gives you time to figure out ways to possibly increase your income so that you can save more money. And so number one, what I would do is automate this savings. I want you to take your willpower out of the equation when it comes to saving money. And automation is the only way to do that. So the way that you can set this up is that every single time that you get paid, you're going to automate dollars exactly where they need to go. So your 401k, if you think about it, already does this, because your money goes from getting paid into your 401k. You don't even see it on your paycheck because it goes before it actually hits your paycheck. And so automation is going to help you do the same thing, where money is going to funnel into your checking account, which all your checking account is a big funnel account, and you're going to funnel that money out to your retirement accounts, or you're going to funnel that money out to your high yield savings account where you're keeping your emergency fund, or you're going to funnel that money out into your taxable brokerage account or your savings that you're going to put for a rental property, those types of things. And so this is the number one thing that you need to do. And if you do this early and often, you won't even feel that the money is gone, because you're going to get used to not having that money there, because it's going to automate out. Truthfully, I have realized that if I don't automate money into certain buckets, all of a sudden what happens is I want to spend those dollars instead. And so once I start to automate it, I don't even realize it's gone. It just goes. And then I'm starting to build a ton of wealth without even lifting a finger. So take your willpower out of the equation. All of us need to get our willpower out of the way, because all of us have tried to rely on our willpower in the past, whether it's health, wealth, career, all of these things. If we can remove our willpower, it is going to be so much better long term. Number two is to track your money flow. You need to make sure you understand where your money flow is going so that you can optimize your savings. And this means, you know, making sure you know how much income is coming in and where your dollars are being spent. So number two, track that money flow. Number three is, where does this savings go? Well, first you need to have 6 months expenses saved in emergency fund. So you need to make sure that it's funneling into an emergency fund, which is in a high yield savings account first, and then move that money on beyond that. And then taking advantage of things like obviously your 401k match, all those different pieces are going to be really, really important. Now, if you have high interest debt, I also want you to funnel this money into that high interest debt to get that paid down. That's any debt above a 6% interest rate. So that is another piece that you definitely need to be doing, and then increasing the amount that you're investing over time. So 10 to 20% is for the 20s. That is where I want you to be. And really, I want you to be at that 20% range is where I want you to land. Now, let's jump into the 30s. Now, when you're in your 30s, one thing I want you to think through is you need to increase your income over this time frame. So your 20s is a time to figure out and develop your skills so that you can increase your income in your late 20s and going into your 30s. Because I want you to really have high income producing years in your 30s and 40s. That's what the really important part is so you can shovel more cash into wealth building activity. So in your 30s, one thing I want you to aim to save for is a little more than in your 20s. So if you're getting a late start and you haven't really started saving, or you're just not making a ton of money yet in your 30s, then you can go for this 15 to 25% is where I want you to be. And so I want you to start to increase that over time. Now, you can be way above that as well. If you're looking for financial independence, for example, and you want to retire in 10 years or less, then looking at something like a 50% savings rate is what a lot of folks do who are in the FIRE movement and want to make sure that they actually can retire so much faster. So if you're interested in the FIRE movement, we have a bunch of episodes talking about that and why you need to have that really high savings rate. But if you can save more than that, more power to you. That is absolutely amazing. But in your 30s, aim for that 15 to 25%. Why? Because you already need to have that solidified emergency fund. This is not something to play around with anymore in your 30s. Life is going to get messy in your 30s. It is very, very messy for me right now. All sorts of just various expenses jump out at me every single month that I have completely unplanned, and the emergency fund is what protects me against those. So you need to have the same exact thing. I know how life is. Life is hard, especially when you're trying to build wealth, especially when you are there trying to make sure you plan for every little thing. You're always going to have surprises. Most of you listening are probably yelling amen from the driver's seat in your car right now. So making sure that you understand that you need to prioritize that emergency fund, and so you need to increase that savings rate. It's got to get higher so that you can make sure that you are prioritizing some of this stuff. Also, this is the time that if you haven't started investing yet, now's the time, my friends. You gotta start investing. If you've waited this long, it's time to maximize those retirement contributions and get into things like the 401k, the Roth IRA, the 457, the 403b, if you don't have a 401k or a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k. All of those are fantastic places to put your dollars and try to grow your wealth over time. Now, another thing I want you to do is I want you to take your dollars, and this is another piece where you can actually put this savings toward income producing activities. I want you to invest in yourself. And one big thing that a lot of people don't do is they don't invest their money in things that will actually help them produce more money. And so investing in yourself would be either, you know, taking courses out there that would help you make more money. Maybe they are things like going to conferences that are going to help you network with more people who can introduce you to more people and more business deals. Maybe it is investing your dollars into certifications within your field that will increase your income. For example, if you're a nurse and you want to become a nurse practitioner, you can make a lot more money becoming a practitioner than just a nurse. And so maybe you want to invest your dollars in some additional education so that you can increase your income. That investment is going to be worth its weight in gold. And so these are the types of things that I want you to think through, especially in your 30s. If you're like, I just keep hitting a wall. I cannot get ahead. I'm in my 30s now. I'm so stressed out. I feel like everybody else is getting ahead of me. What do I need to do? Well, listen, this is not your fault. I want you to know that, number one. And number two, like I said, life is hard right now. So thinking through, what can I do myself? What are the things that I can focus on, the things that I can actually control so that I can increase my income? Well, those income producing activities and investing in yourself is definitely something you can do. You can read books if you don't have a ton of money. You can go to the library and start to look for income producing skills and books on things like that at the library. These are things like negotiation. These are things like sales skills. All of these can be learned in books. And so if you don't have a ton of money, you can invest your time and your energy by reading books. Also, if you have this savings rate and you are, you know, planning for a family, some things that you can do is put them towards 529 plans for your kids' college, as long as you're taking care of your retirement first. You could do things like investing those dollars in financial planning. Always have term and life insurance if you have people who depend on your income. And a lot of those things are just really, really important to make sure that you understand. But always looking at that, reviewing and adjusting your financial plan is really important. And saving within that range, that 15 to 25%, is really, really important in your 30s, because these are the higher income producing years, is your 30s, your 40s. And so I want you to really, really make sure that you're ramping that dial up so that you can become a multimillionaire by the time you get your 50s, 60s, and all those different ranges. So really excited for all of you in your 30s. And if you have not started investing yet, please, for the love of God, you need to start investing as soon as you possibly can. Oh, one of the hardest things about managing your money is figuring out where it's all going. And most of us are trying to save for several goals at once, which can feel like a daunting task to see if you're on track or even on pace to accomplishing your goals. But there is a tool that makes it so much easier, and it's called Monarch Money. They help you track your money flow without taking a ton of time and energy. And Monarch has built-in features to collaborate with your partner, family, or financial advisor. And you can invite them with an extra account with their own own login at no extra cost to collaborate with you. And Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can create custom budgets, set notifications, and you can set up automatic rules for transactions and notifications. And after trying Monarch for myself, I understand why it's a top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/PFP. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/PFP for your extended 30-day free trial. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. And if you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. And they have a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. So ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/personal finance. Just go to Indeed.com/personal finance right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/personal finance. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Now is a great time of year to get your finances in order. And no matter what your financial goals are this year, when you use Chime's online checking account, you can cross all those financial to-dos off your list. Chime's online checking account has tons of benefits that millions of members love, like fee-free overdraft up to $200. Plus, get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit, all while managing your money on the go 24/7. And you get access to over 60,000 ATMs. So start building your credit and open a Chime checking account with at least $200 qualifying direct deposit to get started. Get started at Chime.com/PFP. That's Chime.com/PFP. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank, N.A. or Stride Bank, N.A. members FDIC. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on payer. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply. The key to winning in any business is making sure you have the right business partner. An example is Procter & Gamble or Ben & Jerry. But what about the perfect partners when it comes to growing your business? That's you and Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to did we just hit $1 million stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. And most people know one of your biggest struggles when it comes to starting an online business is finding new customers, and Shopify can help you do that. And what I love about Shopify is no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. So sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/PFP, all lowercase. So go to shopify.com/PFP now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/PFP. All right, so for all my homies up in the 40s, if you're in your 40s, we're going to increase your savings rate a little bit more again. The range that I want you to be in is at a bare minimum is that 20%. You need to be saving at least a bare minimum of 20% unless you've already hit financial independence. A lot of people who listen to this podcast are hitting financial independence in their 40s, which is absolutely amazing. Congratulations to all of you who are doing that. But if you haven't hit financial independence yet, or you haven't hit Coast Fire, or you're not going for Barista Fire, then this is an amazing place to start, is to aim to save 20% to 30% of your income. We got to accelerate this path as fast as we possibly can, especially in your 40s, because I want you to reach retirement either early or at a traditional retirement age. And so in order to do that, we need to make sure that we are saving more of our dollars over time, and your savings rate is what is going to change your trajectory in the path and the speed at which you can retire. And so making sure we increase this number is really, really important. We need to be trying to max out our retirement contributions. That is one big one. So the 401k, we need to try to get more money into the 401k and try to get to that 401k max. In addition, maxing out those Roth accounts is really, really important. If you have money left over, you can go to things like the HSA. You can go to things like the taxable brokerage account. All of those are fantastic. And really, focusing on that health savings is a great time. If you've never started an HSA or even thought through that process, now is a great time to start that in your 40s, because obviously your healthcare bills are going to rise as you age. And so making sure you are starting to invest some dollars in your HSA, and that HSA is growing over time. It has triple tax benefits, so there's amazing stuff that you can do there. But putting dollars into your health savings account is going to really, really help you over time, so that you can ensure, hey, A, I have forced savings for healthcare, and if I don't use this money in the future, it just turns into a traditional IRA, essentially. And so the rules are very similar to like a 401k or a traditional IRA. So it is a great way to, A, save for healthcare expenses. If you don't use it, it turns into a retirement account. So there's really cool stuff that you can utilize there as well. Also, this is a great time to really streamline your expenses. Sometimes in our 30s, things get really messy. Maybe we fall prey to things like keeping up with the Joneses. Maybe your neighbor next door in your 30s got a brand new SUV to drive around town. So you want the brand new SUV to drive around town. Well, instead, maybe we look through our expenses and we cut all the unnecessary stuff so that we can ride around lean in our 40s to ensure that we can retire faster. So if you're struggling to save money, really look at your expenses and look at it with an open mind and see, where am I spending dollars that just don't make sense, that I don't value? Do I walk into Target every single time looking for one thing and then I walk out with $200 every time? Is that something that I do over and over again? Well, maybe I need to put together financial discipline. Do I spend too much money eating out? And I don't really care about eating out. It doesn't really make me happy. It doesn't really bring me value. Do I need to reduce the amount of times that I'm doing that? Those are the types of things and questions you need to be asking yourself so that you know where your money flow is, where your money is going, and then you can make adjustments based on that. So that is something I would definitely consider as well. And then building wealth for your family. If you have some extra dollars left over, things like I said, that 529 plan is great. Also, you know, saving for your kids in a taxable brokerage account or anything else. Those are great things to do. And also always make sure you have that estate plan ready in your 40s. Then one thing I want you to do also in your 40s is just kind of look at your asset allocation. Are you still on par with where you want to be? And there's adjustments that you can make both ways. If you're in something like a target date retirement fund, is it growing enough for you? And or do you need to make an adjustment to a different target date retirement fund? If you're invested in index funds, something along those lines, do you need to look at your asset allocation and make sure it's in line with what your new risk tolerance is? Your risk tolerance over time does change. And so you want to make sure that you are assessing some of this stuff when you have this savings going into some of these investments to ensure that you're on the right path for what you want to be doing. Now, let's jump into the 50s. All right. So in your 50s, there are some cool things that you get to do that everybody else in the other age ranges do not get to do. So number one is I want you to save that 20 to 30% plus in your 50s, especially if you're trying to catch up here. I want you to really accelerate the amount that you're saving. You need to get lean and you need to make sure that you're saving enough in order to be able to retire at a traditional retirement age. So one thing I want you to do is utilize those catch-up contributions when it comes to retirement accounts. So if you didn't know, if you're age 50 or older, you can go and utilize catch-up contributions in your retirement accounts. So this means that you can contribute more money in these retirement accounts than a traditional person can. So for example, the Roth IRA max out at the time of recording this is $7,000. And so the catch-up contribution for this year at the time of recording this is another $1,000. So if you're over the age of 50, you can put an extra $1,000 into that Roth IRA. And so this is a great thing to utilize, especially if you're over the age of 50. Also, I want you to kind of assess your retirement readiness. I want you to figure out and plan this out and see where you are on your retirement path. If you have no idea, then maybe it's time to talk to someone like a certified financial planner who can put together a plan for you, not take a percentage of your assets under management, not take a percentage of fee from you, but making sure that they can put just a plan together for a fee. So there are financial planners out there who for, you know, $3,500 bucks, $4,500 bucks will put together an exact financial plan for you so that you know what you need to do as you approach retirement. When you get closer to that retirement age, that's when you may need more so of a plan because it gets a little more complicated as time goes on. So I want you to assess that retirement readiness and make sure you understand where you are and how much cash you have on hand. Also, some of the savings rate needs to go to more cash. You need to increase your cash position More than 6 months, in my opinion. Now, this is just my opinion, but I like to have more cash on hand as I approach and enter retirement than I would in my growth and accumulation phase. Your growth and accumulation is your 20s, your 30s, your 40s. That's when you're trying to accumulate your wealth. You're trying to build up your wealth. You're trying to accelerate that wealth, make sure it is producing income for you. And then as you approach your 50s and get closer to retirement age, you want to have a little more cash on hand. So maybe you're taking some of that investment money and you're putting it into cash, because what I want you to have available to you is cash as security. And if the market goes down at some point in time while you're retired, and it goes down a lot, maybe it goes down 50, 60% 1 year. And so that happened in the Great Recession, for example. Well, then you have cash that you can live on for a year or two. That's going to allow you to kind of pull that cash while the market recovers. And so that's one thing you want to think through too. And you can keep it in a high yield savings account where it's still earning a return. Right now, high yield savings accounts are fantastic. It's, you know, between 4.5 to 5.5% that you can get on your money. And so making sure that you look through that and think through that is going to be really, really important. Also thinking through your entire situation as a whole, and do you want to do things like downsize, or have the kids left the house yet? If they've left the house yet, maybe you want to consider downsizing, and you can take those extra dollars and put them towards wealth building activities and your freedom. So maybe that's one way to accelerate your path to freedom is downsizing. So you can move from, you know, the bigger house where you have room for every single kid. Maybe you downsize to enough just so your kids can visit when they want to come by and visit. And so you take that, you sell the house, you take those extra dollars and you put them towards things that you actually value. And you could sell that house to millennials who are having a really hard time finding supply right now out there. So that's another great option for you if you're trying to accelerate that path and you really value that time freedom. Also see where Social Security is going to factor into your retirement plan. So your savings rate is there, but maybe you're closer than you think because you haven't factored in Social Security and how much you're actually going to be making with Social Security. And so that's another thing that I want you to assess as you go through this, because maybe you're already at the point in time where if you want to work five more years, you might already be Coast Fire and be close enough to getting there. And then Social Security is actually going to take you over that hump. So make sure you evaluate that as well. And then also making sure that you look at healthcare planning. And healthcare planning is going to be a big, big piece to this. We talked about, you know, increasing your HSA contributions if you haven't already in your 20s and 30s, in your 40s, and making sure you do that. Well, in your 50s, you definitely want to make sure that you're doing that and have that healthcare plan in place. And then also see if there's any alternative assets that you're interested in investing in. If you have a little cash left over, maybe there are things like real estate, or you want to diversify your investments and just get a little extra retirement income coming in. Maybe that's one thing that you want to do too. Things like laundromats. There's a bunch of great ways to do this. And so that's another great one, I think, that we definitely want to make sure that we are thinking through. So that's how I would think about the 50s. And we're going to jump in real quick to the 60s and just talk about a couple of things there. So in your 60s, if you're not retired yet, you want to save as much as you possibly can. I would make a lot of different moves to ensure that I could save as much as I possibly can. So it's going to be well above that 30% range if you can get there. And finding ways to make sure that you can earn that amount is going to be really important. So if you're just getting started off and you're just getting closer to your 60s, then really you need to reduce the amount that you spend significantly. And you maybe even possibly need to take some drastic measures to do that and significantly increase the amount that you're investing. Some people have no idea until they're getting closer to retirement age and that they need to actually start investing their dollars. And so that's one thing I want you to think through too. And I want everybody hearing this who started late. It is never too late to build wealth. I want to give you reassurance here, because so many people say to themselves, well, it's just too late. I'm going to give up. I'm not going to do this. If you're watching on YouTube, look me in the eyes. It is never too late to start building wealth for your financial future. It is never too late. Yes, time is the biggest factor overall, but there are so many examples of people who started late that still were able to accomplish a great retirement. So I want you to make sure that you buckle down, you think through what you want to do here, you put together a real plan. This plan really needs to be dialed down, but I know you can do it. And I just want to say that to the folks who are in their 60s. So going through all the things in your 50s, your Social Security, making sure you have estate planning, thinking about your health insurance, all that stuff matters. But really, I want you to know that it is never too late. And I want you to think through, how can I do this? How can I save some of this extra money and pair it with Social Security to ensure that I can retire? And so that's some really important stuff as well. And then putting these dollars into things that you think will help you overall based on your risk tolerance is going to be really, really important. Well, listen, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. I cannot thank you guys enough for investing in yourself, because that's exactly what you're doing by spending time with us here today. I appreciate every single one of you, and we want to bring you as much value as possible. So if you guys have suggestions on episodes that you want me to create, send them in to me via email, and I will work my hardest to to make sure that we can create those episodes for you. Because a lot of times we put these episodes together and we're really excited to talk about these topics. But sometimes I want to make sure that we are actually bringing you value as well. And we're bringing you the value that you want when you listen to this show. So make sure you reach out to me. I love when you guys reach out to me, and I will work as hard as I can to make those episodes for you. And if not, we'll put them in a money Q&A and make sure we can at least get your question answered for you as well. So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. I hope you have a great rest of your week, and we will see you on the next episode. Everyone's heard the saying, you have to spend money to make money. But everything in life, from travel to starting a business, is expensive. Which is why I want to tell you about a new podcast I love that will teach you all the tactics, tricks, and tips you need to upgrade your life, money, and even travel, all while spending less and saving more. It's called All the Hacks, and it's a top-ranked show hosted by my good friend Chris Hutchins, a financial optimizer, an entrepreneur who's racked up millions of points, and he sold two companies. And if you want to rethink the way you're spending money, you have to check out the episode 91 with Bill Perkins and why you should be optimizing for net fulfillment and not net worth and striving to die with zero. All the Hacks has something for everyone, and I'm sure you'll find a new tactic that you can apply to your own life, whether it's a money hack that increases your net worth or a routine change that boosts your productivity. So check out All the Hacks. That's All the Hacks on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Your wallet will thank you later.